accession number 20851. Correction, accession number 20850, real 1.
Jack Sykes, real 1. Where were you born, please?
In Teddington, Middlesex.
Which year was this?
1933.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a greengrocer, carpenter.
In Teddington?
In Walton-on-Thames. We moved from Teddington just after the war.
Have you got any Second World War memories?
Yes, quite a few.
Can you tell me about those, please?
We used to live in York Road, Teddington, as a boy. And I used to, my mum and dad moved to Walton-on-Thames after my dad came out of the army. He was in the Royal Army Service Corps. And I used to go back to York Road, Teddington, to live with my gran, because I liked to live in Teddington than York, than Walton. And I used to go to school in Walton, and I used to go back to my gran for the weekends to play with all my mates and things like that. But then it was one Friday night, which I think the Germans were going after the laboratories at Teddington, laboratories during the war, and they bombed Teddington, and York Road got hit, and we were bombed out. We were bombed out 3 times.
What happened the first time? What do you remember of it?
Well, my gran used to put us in, because the coal sheds were in the house, she used to sit us on the coal, in the coal shed, because she thought that was the safest place. We didn't have no shelters then. And this particular night, on a Friday night, as I say, I can't remember the dates of that, we had a bomb dropped in the middle of the road and demolished the house, but we were sitting in the coal shed and we were not touched at all.
How frightening was that?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And down the road, a cousin of mine had a pub, owned a pub, and the pub was just demolished, and their daughter, baby girl, she was killed.
What was the address of your grandmother's house?
42 York Road.
And it was a write-off?
It was a write-off, yeah. They were all patched up again. I mean, we had to move out, and then my gran went back in, but I didn't go back because I came home to Walton-on-Thames.
Was it just you and your grandmother sitting on the coal?
Yes, just me and my gran.
How did she take it?
Well, she's terrified. An old lady, she was getting on bed. But, yes, it was. And you walked out into the street, and there was just nothing but debris. The whole road was all debris. And of course, as a boy in those days, we used to collect all the shrapnel, you know, bits of aeroplanes and stuff like that. But we had it there at York Road, but when I moved to Walton-on-Thames, Terrace Road, we were bombed out again there. But we had the indoor shelters. And we lived in 206 Terrace Road, and that was had the roof knocked off. We had a 25-pounder bomb drop in Terrace Road.
Was it far away from your address?
I should imagine the centre of the road, I suppose about 200 yards.
And you were in the indoor shelter?
We were in the indoor shelter, my brother, my sister and my mum.
And you?
And me, yeah. My dad was just about to come out the army.
What did the indoor shelter consist of?
They used to call them, I think, the Anderson shelters, you know. They were all solid tops, metal tops, four posters and grills all the way round. And what you used to do is you used to have to put your mattress inside that, and the grill's supposed to stop the glass or anything coming that way.
Metal grills, were they?
Yes, everything was metal. It was built in your house. And then we had, we didn't go in there after it was repaired at Terrace Road. They built an Anderson shelter at the end of the road by the dump. There was a dump. And they built this Anderson shelter for the whole road to go into.
Was this brick?
Yes, this is brick. And we were in there one night, and a doodle bug came over and dropped about 500 yards from the shelter. We were all okay, but the houses had lost the roofs again.
Which house were you living in then?
206 Terrace Road.
The same house?
The same house as the Anderson shelter, yes. So that got done twice. Bombed out there.
Was it uninhabitable after each time?
No, what they did the second time, we had, they put tarpaulins over the roof for the weather, and then gradually they re-slated them all.
So it was just the roof that was down there?
Yes, yeah. Because the back doors, all in those days, they used to have breeze blocks. They used to build up breeze blocks about 10 foot high and make a walkway into your doorways so that it would save the glass and the doors.
Which of the three occasions was the most frightening for you?
My grand's, York Road.
Why was that?
Well, because, I mean, the house was, you know, half demolished, and just for me and an old lady to be in there, it was terrible. Plus a cousin down the road getting killed.
So, when the second time, how did your mother and your brother and your sister react to the...
Well, I suppose the same as I would, I suppose. You know what mums are, they're caring and, you know, they cry for the kids to make sure the kids are all right.
But you were uninjured all three,
yes.
All three occasions?
Yeah, no problems at all.
And the first time, was the coal thrown all over the place?
Oh, funny enough, because we were enclosed, it didn't seem to touch that. We just sat there and off went the bang. We heard the roof and everything falling in. And that was it. It's just for, what, a matter of 20 seconds. And then my gran opened the door and everything was dust and bricks around. And we just went running out in the streets. And the rest of the street had debris all over it.
Did other people run out as
yes.
well?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In actual fact, I can't quite remember, but I do believe there was, in that occasion, I think there was a man and a woman that were right opposite the bomb that were killed. But fortunately, the time of it, the pubs were still open, and quite a lot of the blokes were still in the pubs. The pub was at the top of the road, which was the... Oh, God. That's why my granddad wasn't in the place where me and my gran was. It was quite early in the, well, I say early in the evening, it was about, I would say, I guess about 9:30 at night. But that's what they were after, the
You said laboratory.
Laboratory, yeah.
So you must have been extremely dirty if you kept having to hide in the coal shed.
Always. We had no showers or nothing in them days. And Grant always thought that was the best place. Most people down the road used to sit the kids in the coal sheds. They thought that was the best place, under the stairs. There was no bricks to fall on top of you. If the stair collapsed, then probably you'd have had it. But that was the best place.
So you didn't have a bathroom?
No. All we had was my Grant had a scullery, what they used to call it. Used to have a bath in front of the fire and a tin bath, or in the copper, what they used to call the copper in them days. She used to sit me inside there, and it was all warmed up by coal. I mean, we didn't have electric lights, we had gas lights.
So was the war a happy or an unhappy time for you?
I suppose, as a kid, I suppose you, I'm not saying it was a happy time, but I suppose you enjoyed it because when we used to go to school, we always used to go to school at Ambleside at Walton, and we used to walk very slowly, maybe four or five of us, and then we'd listen to the air raid sirens go, and we used to see the dogfights of the aeroplanes, and of course we didn't have to go to school there, so we ran back home instead of going to school.
Were you instructed not to go to school?
No, we weren't instructed, but what they used to say is if you're not halfway or more, go to school. But we used to go back home. It was, you know, if you were a couple of 100 yards from school, we used to go back home.
Is that why you used to walk slowly?
Yeah. But all the kids were the same anyway.
Did the war affect your schooling?
Well, didn't have much education in them days, I don't think. Partly for the war. I mean, there was always sirens every day, you know, you could near enough say when they were coming, you know, or during the night. But I think we were affected by the schools, you know, not a lot of education.
What's happened to you on VE Day?
We had a great day at Teddington. We, because they were all barrow boys, they'd all come from Kingston Market, where my gran lived, and we had rows and rows of tables and plenty of drink, and all the ration, they put all the ration books together and got all the food that they possibly could get. And it was a great day, really great day.
And VJ Day?
Yes, more or less the same, yeah. And we've also had, we've only been here 4 years, and we've had the party the other week, you know, the celebration, Queen's celebration, Jubilee.
The Golden Jubilee.
Yeah, we had all the tables and chairs out this road and had a good time.
How did you come to be in the army yourself?
Well, I was National Service, called up in April 51. I went to Kingston Barracks for 6 weeks training with the Surreys, and after 6 weeks they transferred us down to Shorncliffe near Folkestone, and we did some training down there. But then after a few weeks we were put on alert to fly to Tripoli in the Suez. They had a bit of trouble out there, so the East Surreys was put on alert. And then one particular night they coached us down to Lyneham Airport, put us on Dakotas, and we flew, and we was in Tripoli.
Which battalion of the East Surreys was that?
First Battalion. in which we were out there, we were doing guard duties and stuff like that. But I was a little bit fortunate that I played a lot of football, and I played for the battalion, and out there I was playing quite a lot of football for the battalion.
Where, what position did you play?
Well, what they call now striker. I used to play centre forward in them days.
Was there any trouble in Tripoli whilst you were there?
Around the Suez Canal, but we were off the Suez, and you used to get the little outbreaks in Tripoli, which troops used to have to go down and just put barbed wire around us and that, and sort that out, but nothing to speak about, not really. We wondered really why we went out there.
Did you see any riots or anything like that?
Yeah, I saw a couple of riots out there, but as I say, I was mainly going around playing football for the battalion, so it was quite a big feat to, if you were a sportsman in the army, you got off with quite a bit.
Can you describe what the riots looked like?
It was more or less throwing bricks and stones. There were a couple of gunfires out there, but nothing to be afraid of, nothing at all.
Who were they throwing bricks and stones at?
At the troops, putting up the barbed wire fencing.
What was the barbed wire fencing supposed to protect?
Well, it's supposed to protect them, the Arabs, from getting into the embassies. It was protecting the embassies, or whatever they were protesting about.
Did you know what they were protesting about?
Half the time, no, not really. No.
Were any of the troops injured?
No.
So they weren't hit by the stones and bricks?
No, I mean, you had tin helmets and you had protection, so it really, really didn't amount to much anyway.
What kind of protection?
Well, we had heavy stuff. Something like a bulletproof vest where you put it, this thing over you, like an overcoat. And it was padded, and that was it. But as I say, it was really nothing, really. As I say, we wondered really why we were out there. But it was mainly guard duties on big ammunition dumps or vehicle places where they used to try and take the vehicles, pinch the lorries and stuff like that. But
did you ever get them?
A couple of occasions they tried to get them and drive out, but they were stopped, as I know of anyway.
Was this still in 51?
This is still in 51.
Which month were you there?
Oh, I would have let's see, April. I went in April. I would say so. We were at about July, I should think.
Were you there long?
Not all that long, no. I would imagine I was out there for about maybe 4 months, 5 months.
Did you like it then?
Well, I was, as I say, I was okay. I didn't play. I played football, so I was mainly travelling around with a football team, playing against other battalions, plus the Navy, or the ships that used to come in there. We used to play them quite a lot. But I thought, yeah, I was quite happy, all right. If me army life was going to be like that all the time, I was quite happy.
So you were in Tripoli all the time, were you?
Until Korea started, until I was back to go to Korea.
Just going back to the training you had in England, what was that like?
That was Salisbury Plains. It was very hard, very boring, very cold.
In what way was it hard?
Well, they really put you through it. You know, it was, you were there and all these mock battles nine times out of ten in the time we were there, it was either pouring or rain. And very cold. You had to live in the trenches and things like that.
How were you treated by the people in charge of the training?
Oh, I think very well, actually. Yeah, very well. Sergeants and that were okay. They had a job to do and you did it.
How did the recruits get on with each other?
You used to get... I think you used to get a little bit of bullying, but if you looked after yourself, then they didn't bully you. I mean, I was a very quiet bloke at 18, but being in the army, it soon brings it out of you.
How do you mean?
Well, I was quiet and I didn't really look after myself, but in the army, when you had the bullies come around and, oh, that's mine and it's yours, I thought, no, that's mine. If you didn't stand up to them, then you were going to be bullied. So I stood up for myself and I didn't get bullied.
You mean they were trying to take your kit?
Yes, yeah. If you cleaned your boots or you done this and shined that, they'd come over two or three. Oh, that's mine. I said, no, it's mine. If you had to be a little bit hard yourself. I mean, I must admit, I mean, I personally didn't like the army, but I had to do 2 years, and that was it. But on saying that, going to Korea, I wouldn't have changed it for the world, although I was wounded.
What didn't you like about the army?
Discipline, I suppose. I didn't like discipline anyway. I didn't like people telling me what I got to do and what I shouldn't be doing. I know it's a funny outlook, but I just didn't like it.
So these bullies would have taken your kit if you'd have let them?
Oh yeah, two they would have done. Yeah, and that started from training at Kingston Barracks.
So this was to save themselves the bother of cleaning the kit?
Yeah, well you always, no matter what kind of, you know, I think you've got that now, haven't you? This other place down at, is it? You know, bullying things going on. If you let people get away with it, then they're going to do it. But if you stand up to them, you might get a good hiding, but at least you stand up to them. But I wasn't going to let anybody do that to me.
Did you get a good hiding?
No. I was a pretty big bloke in them days anyway, so.
So when you said it was your kit, they just went away?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about going to Korea, please?
Yeah. While I was in Egypt, as I say, playing football, I did get an injury and I was in hospital. And I came out of hospital and went back to the barracks in Tripoli and looked at company orders, as you normally do, and I noticed my name was up there to go back to England. Me and my mate, Crocker. And I went to him and I said, oh, we're going home. What's the idea of that? And he said, I've just volunteered you for Korea. I had to take it. So we came home.
How did he volunteer you?
Because we had enough time out there to serve to go to Korea, because to fight in Korea, you had to be 19. Well, we were 18 and coming on to 19, and we would have had enough time. So John, he decided he wanted to go and he'd take me, because we'd all been through the army life together. We met in the East Surreys. And we came back, and of course we joined a Fusiliers at Worley Barracks in Essex. Went on training again, and we were still in the same company, me and John, this John Crocker, who was my mate. And then we got 14 days leave, and when I went home, my dad said to me, he sat me down and he said, "You volunteered for Korea, didn't you?" Because he called me an idiot. And I said, "No, I didn't." I said, "My mate volunteered me." He said, "You should have got out of it." I said, "No. Me and him stick together. Where one goes, the other one went." So we went to Korea. So we was on the Empire Halidale, went from Liverpool. Before that, the Royal Fusiliers, I expect you know this anyway, that they marched through the city of London on the Monday the 29th before we went to Korea. We had a great day at the Guildhall, and then we went to Liverpool and sailed on the Halidale to Busan, and then from Busan, when we got to Busan, that was 6 weeks.
What was your voyage like in the Empire Halidale?
Absolutely terrible. I mean, I love cruising now because we go cruising, but I wouldn't recommend the Empire Halidale as a cruise ship. Oh, around the Bay of Biscay, oh, the waves were so high, it was frightening, really frightening. And there was troops laying there, you know, being sick all over the place. But touch wood, I've never been sick on a ship. But the 6 weeks on board, we used to stop Hayden, Colombo, Hong Kong, and we used to get shore leave for the day and then go back on board ship. And then we got to Busan, and then they transferred us to a train which took us north up to the 38th parallel, and then we were stuck straight in the line.
What were your first impressions once you got to Busan?
It was quite pleasant, actually. Nothing like it is now, because I went back there last year. It was mainly tin huts and things like that, but I mean, it's completely changed.
But what was so pleasant about it?
Well, when we landed, the people were so nice, and you know, they made us most welcome. They would come and give us drinks, and although we was told not to touch the drinks or the food, because you never know what disease you were going to get. But they were nice people, and so that was it. And then they put us on the train to go up north to the 38th parallel. Then we were taken by lorries up to the line and put straight in.
Straight into the line?
Yeah.
Which company and platoon were you in by then?
I was in D Company, which was made up of all, it was A, B, C and D. A, B and C companies were mainly Royal Fusiliers. But D Company was made up of East Surreys and the Kings and a couple of other regiments. So we were like the outcasts, if you like to put it. That's how I put it anyway.
Jack Sykes, Reel 2.